do you like? Movie podcast hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Film podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that shit. I am your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, in a special way today, Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hello, boobies.
I can see them right now. Let's spend a minute with you, with all three of you.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Heather.
All right, so Heather, we have a couple things we have to talk about. However, like, okay, something funny happened this morning. I just want to tell you about it real quick. So you know, like, I don't know if
see everybody... See how A Moment with Heather turned into A Moment with Kai again?
No, this is going to be about you, goddammit. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we were... D23 is happening right now in Anaheim. It's like the Disneyland yearly convention where they do like a lot of their releases. So like today they said they're releasing Incredibles 2. They showed the first footage from Incredibles 2. They showed Wreck-It Ralph footage. They like if you can find information about the Wreck-It Ralph thing, it's really cool the stuff they're doing. They're going to have Marvel in there. They're going to have all the Disney princesses are going to be in the film. Every living voice actress that has voiced a princess is going to return to voice their princess for this film, for Wreck-It Ralph 2.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool shit. But I was sending you pictures because they had pictures of Star Wars Land, and then today they had a video of it. They did a model of what it's going to actually look like. And my son said, we should take Heather and go to Disneyland, and we could put her in a wheelchair and get to the front of the line. And my first reaction was, and I said this, we're going to beat her up? Because I was like, I'm like, nowhere in my head did it process that we could just fake it. Like, I'm like, we're going to kick her ass to put her in a wheelchair to get to the front? And my thought was like, you would probably do that.
I probably would.
Because the motherfucker's got to crunch a lot of rides into one day, so...
I would do a lot of awful things for that. Yeah, I certainly have no scruples whatsoever.
All right, so that's that. I just want
to
get that.
I'd like to say it wasn't my idea.
No, it was mine.
I'm game.
All right, so tell everyone why this is a special episode.
It's a special episode because you have a special retard on it. I mean, idiot. I mean, stupid person.
Wait, we're not getting to that yet? What the hell are you talking about?
I know, it's our 7-year episode. I was just being an asshole. It's our 7-year anniversary.
That's right. We were supposed to do one last week, and schedules didn't work out, so we're doing it this week. But July 4th, 2010 was the first time we recorded this podcast. I still remember it. I have a very fucking poor memory, but it's like one of the few things I still remember quite vividly, actually. And I got into blogging in 2009 because I didn't know how to podcast, and I wanted to talk about movies and stuff. And through that, I got to get to podcasting, but I'm really grateful that I got to do the blogging because I made a lot of friends like you and Dylan, who I think will be like, you know, buddies for life and all that shit. So like, I'm happy to have you around even 7 years later, even though I needed 2 years away from you. but I think it's a big accomplishment. We're coming up on 100 episodes. I like the show, and we're going to make some tweaks to it. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to say happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary. I love you.
Perfect.
I love your family, too. I kind of like them better than you, but I like you a lot, too. Ow!
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. That's going to happen a lot today. All right, last thing. I love you as well, darling. We have a change we're instituting. So, we have been doing the same segments pretty much. I mean, we've cut it here and there. I think when we started, we had news, like a news segment, which we got rid of, and like we've tweaked the show over the time. Do you remember the movie news? I think Steve Bush did a thing for it.
It didn't last for too long, but I mean, our show used to run an hour and a half to an hour and 40 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, and that's a problem too, because we're always shooting for an hour, and I think right now we're like consistently like around an hour 20, right?
Yeah, sometimes we could do an hour 10. It doesn't seem like it's bothering listeners, and if it is, they should tell us, but I think we're doing pretty good.
No, I just...
But still, a little shorter would be...
Yeah, I think an hour, just like a show, is like a good like ending point, you know, save it for the next one. But like, so what we decided was, for now, we're just going to kill the general discussion topic, because first of all, it's a big pain in the ass trying to coordinate it. Secondly, we don't get a lot of suggestions that are new. A lot of them we've done before. And the thing that I find is because we have so much crammed in the show that we're either racing through the GDT to get to the Series 7, or we're racing through the Series 7 because we spent so much time on the GDT. And since the Series 7 is essentially seven little GDTs, general discussion topics, it seemed more prudent. That's a good word. I don't use that word a lot. It seemed very prudent to just have...
I wish someone was there to hit you.
The Series 7 as a chance to do several many topics that we could expound upon more instead of like racing through a bunch of those really fast and one long one in the middle. So that's,
you know what also happened, help go through the episodes like way faster. Is if you didn't go on crazy tangents all the time.
Are you fucking talking about me right now, or are you staring in a mirror talking about yourself?
I'm talking about you.
I feel like you're like in a mirror berating yourself. You know what would help this show? If you didn't go on tangents all the time.
I'm the best thing about me doing things all the time.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Okay. So, now that we've learned so much about Heather, it's time to move on with the show. So,
this has been A Moment with Heather.
This is going to be a fucking disaster. We haven't done video in a long time, and it's mainly because Heather turns into a fucking crazy person when we do it. So, we're doing a video conference today, and our guest is sitting next to Heather. It's an anniversary show, so we thought it should be a family affair. So, Heather, why don't you tell everyone who is joining us today?
I think everyone knows who our guest is. He doesn't have a real name. He's known to most people as Turdo, or Steven, I guess, Turdo Baxendale. He is my brother, my little brother. Everyone always thinks he's my older brother because he's tall and fat and ugly.
True. But
we've had him on the show before, and it's been kind of a train wreck, but it's a fun one.
Well, the best thing about having him on the show is I can make him do this.
Ow! He hits me this whole time. I'm going to have a giant bruise on my arm. So everyone that is sad that Kai's mean to me, now you can say that it's abusive. Ow.
You deserve it.
Let's be clear. I didn't touch
you. I'm wonderful.
You.
I tolerate assholes all day long.
Hey, can I be honest? The whole idea behind getting rid of the GDT and trying to condense the show a little bit, or at least the segments, was that so I don't have to like shut you down all the time, because you tend to go on tangents. It's fine. But there's times where I have to move shit along.
I have a hard time when I'm sitting by myself and I start talking, stopping. I just do.
Yeah.
I have lots of things to say, and I like to talk to you. Yeah. But if I'm by myself, it's different than when someone's sitting next to me and you're being conversational. I think you can probably understand that.
Absolutely.
It's a little different.
Okay. So, anyway, so hopefully I'm going to be nicer to you. However, today you're going to get punished by your brother several times. So that's going to be a lot of fun for some of us.
You can take it. She's tough.
That was the nicest thing he's ever said.
I'm a liar, though.
I know.
All right, so Turdo's been on the show before. He's not plugging anything. He's just here to be here with family. Basically, if you've never heard the show, what we do is we're going to do the Series 7. We're going to play the game. That's it now. But before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen lately?
Turdo, you're our guest today. Is there a film you've seen recently you feel compelled to speak of?
I just saw Spider-Man Homecoming last night.
Yay, me too. I'm going to talk about it. Let's talk about it.
I enjoyed it. It was very good.
Wow. So succinct. Yeah,
right. I know. I'm so deep.
Do me a favor. We want to shorten the podcast, but not that much.
Either of the Amazing Spider-Mans, but from the original three, I enjoyed it more. Seemed much quicker paced and a little more goofy, as a Spider-Man always does. Had to have the weird, awkward love interest, which I don't care for, but it was much shorter than the original, so I enjoyed it. It was fun. It had just the right amount of Iron Man in it. I thought he was going to be in it too much, but it was good. I really liked it.
How do you like it being with the Marvel, with all the other characters now?
Well, the way that Marvel moves, everything's quick and moves fast. Nothing's really dragged on. I really like that about it. But with Spider-Man getting included with all the other characters, I think it's just going to amplify him.
All right.
I'll double down on what you said about Iron Man. I like that Iron Man didn't come in the end and save the day. Because that could happen. And this is also my frustration with other Marvel movies, because when Iron Man's getting his ass kicked, I'm like, you're friends with Thor. Sorry. I was looking right at Heather. Right there. He's friends with Thor. Jesus Christ.
Friends Thor? You know, with, God of Thunder.
Yeah, you got Thor's your buddy, Cap's your buddy, you got all these people. Like, you don't call somebody in for like a little assistance, but you're right. For the sake of the story, that would have sucked. And I do like what you said a little bit about the fast pace. Like, they've been guilty of this before with the origin stories. They have completely – they did the whole Spider-Man origin story in a sentence in Civil War. And they didn't even address it in this one. Yeah. And it's fine. Like, we get it. The only – I really liked it. I think Michael Keaton's getting a little too much praise. Not to say that he wasn't fantastic, but people are talking like it's fucking Birdman.
Yeah, I'm hearing, like, God acting. Like,
I think mostly because – who doesn't love Michael Keaton? And as he's been in small roles lately, he hasn't been in something like this in a long time, and everyone's just really happy to see him in a movie again.
He's nominated for an Oscar 2 years ago. Before that, he did Birdman. He should have won an Oscar.
But those aren't high-profile movies, though, tons of people are seeing, as I never saw either of those. I need to, though.
Well, I don't know. I thought he was great. I don't have a problem with him. In fact, I don't want to spoil the third act, but when the third act happens, that reveal, when it really kind of ramps up the tension for the whole story, yes. You know what I'm saying? His face, like, sells the emotion that gets you tense. Like, it's all that dude.
And speaking of that, I didn't see that coming, and I don't know how I didn't see that coming.
Right? Exactly.
Literally, it happened, and I'm like, how did I not know that this was going to happen? But, I felt blindsided there. But I shouldn't have.
I liked it. I'll see all the Spider-Man, so that's just how I am. But, like, I really like my favorite suit.
And whatever.
What's that?
It's a fucking whatever, Spider-Man. You don't like Spider-Man.
I know, right? Wait. Sorry, we have video going.
You just flashed me a drawing of Spider-Man. Not anything else.
Oh, what's this?
Yeah, it's early in the day.
Look at this. This is just for Heather. I can do Hamlet with Spider-Man.
That was good.
All right, back to the show. So here's what I like. Amazing Spider-Man, didn't like the stories at all, really liked the spider suit. I thought it was the most kind of, like, it had the iconic eyes and it was a little pretty faithful. I liked Andrew Garfield's his sarcasm a little bit more when he would attack a Spider-Man, and I liked the use of his spider webs as a weapon when he would fight in the Amazing Spider-Man, which is something Tobey Maguire didn't really do other than to, like, spray a guy's hand to the wall.
Yeah, he just stopped people, basically, from doing stuff.
Yes, but it should be an extension of his fighting style. And so I like that about those films. This film, Spider-Man's younger, that's okay. He was in high school. He's actually in high school in all the movies. He just looks a little younger now. The comedy was great, and I like that they made fun of Spider-Man himself, too. There's the one time where he tries to – well, there's two great callbacks in that film. One, he tries to swing off a building and the web's too long and he goes sliding across the ground.
Yeah.
And there's another one where he gets to the lake and he goes to shoot his web and there's nothing to shoot it on, which is like a long-running joke with Spider-Man. Like, if he's out in the middle of nowhere, what the fuck is he swinging webs off of? So it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. I liked the Vulture. They did with the Vulture what they should have done with Green Goblin back in 2002, which was like kind of a realistic suit, like a nice jacket with some tech around it. And it looked really neat. The ending, the climax scene up in the air is a little too fast-paced, and I really would have liked to see a more – it's an emotional win for Spider-Man. He changes as a person and becomes the hero a little more. I would have liked to have seen him kick a little more ass towards the end. I don't know that he won the climax, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that more or less got lucky, more or less.
Yeah. So there's that stuff, but, like, honestly, I liked it. I even liked the tech that's been added to the suit. I think that worked fine. I was a little pissed. It didn't really seem like he had a spider sense.
No.
No spidey sense?
No spidey sense, no. Mm-hmm.
And that didn't make sense to me. And I don't remember if that's something that came later, so maybe he'll adapt that. The other thing I wanted to mention, but I liked the film. I loved it. It might be my favorite Spider-Man. So, Spider-Man 2 is great, but it might be. I'll have to watch it again. The other thing is, I'm wondering how confusing this is getting for other people, because there's 15 films now, and I had a friend at work ask me a list of all the Marvel movies so he could get, like, caught up on it. And he was like, including all these Marvel movies from the early 2000s that had already been made. Some people think these are sequels to the fucking Sam Raimi films.
Yeah, yeah. They're not part of the MCU is what your non-person is not going to realize.
No, I guess not.
And that's, like, I feel sad for them.
Yeah. And confusing, too, probably.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's where I'm at. I really liked it. Heather, what about you?
I saw a horrible movie.
What?
One of the most horrible movies I've seen in a long time. So, it was kind of like a goofy thing. Mike and I do enjoy watching bad movies. They can be fun to make fun of. We usually know what we're getting into, though. We watched Triple X, the Xander Cage Returns, like, last weekend. It was pretty awful. It was exactly what you'd expect. But it was fun awful. So it was enjoyable to watch. However, we decided, and we postponed this one. It was Once Upon a Time in Venice.
What?
Bruce Willis, my Khal Drogo, my Jason Momoa was in it, and he's playing a Hispanic thug. Yeah.
That's a big thug.
It's weirder. John Goodman's in it, and he looks like he lost all of his weight, and his skin's hanging off of his body. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of strange. And there's, like, some other actors that just kind of show up in it. What's-her-face from X-Men?
Jennifer Lawrence?
No.
Halle Berry?
No. Goldeneye. I can't think of her
first. Oh, Fink. I don't even know how to say her. Yes. Whatever her name is.
She said Famke Janssen.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. She's in it, and she's only in it briefly. And there's a couple, like, other actors that are in it along those lines that they're all doing stuff mm-hmm. or have done stuff that they shouldn't be. This looks like a movie that literally somebody made at home. The production value was fucking god awful. God fucking awful. Bruce Willis is playing this retired detective in Venice who skateboards and hangs out with teenagers skateboarding, and he, like, goes and solves local crimes and shit, and everybody knows who he is, and, like, Steve's cool, and then they have this terrible fucking music playing.
Everybody's all Steve's cool?
I'm not kidding. The dialogue. Oh, my God. The dialogue. It was like nails on a fucking chalkboard. It was so bad. I couldn't believe my fucking ears. So someone steals his dog. That isn't his dog. It's his niece's dog. And there's this subplot story. Essentially, it felt like somebody had a hard-on for Shane Black movies.
Yeah, that's like, what this sounds weapon. Like. It sounds like a bad, like, what's the one that, with Russell Crowe just came out? Thing.
Or Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
I loved it. But it was written, I think, in that idea, and it was executed like a fucking drunk 5-year-old directed it. It was horrible. Even John Goodman, who is a great actor, he was making I poop my pants faces. I poop my pants! And I'm not kidding. I cannot. And then my lovely Jason Momoa is playing this cliche, horrible, freaking cholo guy, and he's
Did he do the whole voice? Like, he's like, I'm gonna come down there and my girl, sad girl, and we're gonna kick your ass, homie.
Yes, he kept saying, Holmes. Yay, Holmes. And he had, I don't even think he had his own facial hair, and that man can grow facial hair. And I think he had a glued on shit on his face.
I don't think that man can't grow facial hair.
I know. And then he had, like, his hair all piled up in the back. They didn't even try and hide that he had long fucking hair. They just put in a little bun and kind of... It was god-awful. We watched the whole thing. The whole thing.
Was this on Netflix?
No, we bought it.
You, like, bought the DVD or, like, rented it on demand or what?
Did we buy it, Mike?
No, it was a rental.
Oh,
you're
fuck.
You're not a guest, Mike. Go back to your hole.
No talking.
It was a rental then, but we still paid money to view this thing. Uh-huh. It was so horrible. It was awful. There was nothing to do about it. Oh my god! And there was a 5 minute, and it's at least 5 minutes long, of Bruce Willis skating around on a skateboard, butt fucking naked with his saggy old white man ass. After he was banging his 18-year-old that he could have been the grandfather of.
Wait, I need clarity.
Swinging balls.
Butt. Fucking naked or butt fucking naked?
Well, there might have been butt fucking because there was a sex scene.
Okay.
But we didn't see that part.
But.
It was, oh my god, it was so horrible. I don't know if it went straight to DVD. I can't remember if it was.
I imagine it did. Here's the problem with Bruce Willis. I've noticed recently, like, a lot of. He's done a lot of movies that are just not getting released. They go straight to fucking Netflix and shit. Even with stars in them.
Steven Seagal. We have his
movie. He's turning into him.
Oh, I thought you said he was in a movie with him.
No, that would be awesome, though.
Yeah, that one I'd watch. I might pay for that one.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know what you're getting into with that, though.
Okay,
you're paying for the badness.
So he went and saw Spider-Man Homecoming last night, and you watched Bruce Willis butt-fucking a missing dog with Jason Momoa.
When you say it that way, it sounds like a much better movie than much it was.
So you wouldn't recommend it?
I don't think so to anyone ever.
Okay.
There's nothing. It's so bad.
There's pain in your eyes. It's funny.
I'm going to cry. I can't get those hours back. I stayed up till midnight like an adult and watched it.
Adults go to bed at 9 o'clock. God damn it. Hey, would you recommend, Turdo, would you recommend Spider-Man Homecoming?
Absolutely.
Okay. And we'll get a little bit more to that later, but this is going to bring us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to get into the Series 7. Straight into it. Play music.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
All right, it's time for the Series 7. These are 7 film-related questions meant to generate discussions on film and pop culture. They can be interpreted however you want. You can make a joke of them, be super serious, or however you want to take the question. You can, like, mold it into whatever you want to be and take an opinion on it from whatever angle you want. So here we go. We're going to start with question number 1. We're going to start with Turdo because you're our guest. Name your 3 favorite action movie directors of all time.
I have James Cameron, Antoine Fuqua, and Michael Bay.
Oh, someone did a Google search.
Yep. After James Cameron, I sure did. I picked my 2 favorite after that.
That's funny, man. I tried to think about it. Okay, so, like, I am not putting Michael Bay on my favorite. I think Michael Bay is the obvious face of, and I think Heather would, I bet it's on Heather's list.
Yes, but that's fair. I've loved Michael Bay forever. I love Michael Bay for what he is.
Yeah.
Other than Transformers.
Yes, other than the last 2 Transformers.
Well,
the first.
Thing. Heather fell in love when she saw Armageddon, and ever since, she's been...
Fuck you!
What did you say?
Fuck you!
Mike, or Turtle, get her for me.
Ow!
Yes!
Mike, get me. Mike he's again. In trouble.
Sorry. No, he's blocking in the background of his underwear, getting a beer out of the fridge or something. All right. So
he's got underwear on now?
It's growth. So here's the thing. I was thinking about this. I didn't want to pick someone that strictly does action. And Cameron was there, but I don't know. Like, Cameron would make my list. But he's such, I don't know, he makes different kinds of films. I wanted someone that was, like, I associated directly. What's that?
Straight action.
Straight action guys. So I went John Woo, the guy I couldn't remember in trivia last week.
Stupid.
I've got George Miller, strictly for the Mad Max films, and particularly with, like, the opus that is Fury Road. I think Fury Road is the most interesting and beautiful action film I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then I really like, for whatever reason, just looking over his resume, and just for these 3 films, for Super Troopers, RoboCop, and Total Recall, I had to go with Paul Verhoeven.
Fair enough.
You know? And then I have my special shout-out is to Gareth Evans, who directed the Raid films. That guy is doing something very unique, and I think those are the coolest action films out there right now, and the fact that he brought them to us, if he had a longer filmography, he'd probably be on my list, but he's not, or he doesn't, so he stays off. But those are my 3. I don't know about favorite. They're 3 I really like, so I thought I'd mention them. But what about you, Hedda?
Yeah, I was kind of going back and forth. I think James Cameron's an obvious pick, and he does do action films, but he does action sci-fi, And I think you'd probably recognize him more for science fiction, but what I think he does great is, and does better than anybody else, is he melds science fiction and action together.
Yeah, I think you could say that comfortably.
Yeah, I don't think that that's really that debatable. So, for that, obviously, and he's one of my favorites, period, end of discussion anyway, but I love Michael Bay. I love Michael Bay because I know what I'm getting when I'm paying to see a Michael Bay movie.
Boom.
I'm not expecting anything but ridiculous, fun explosions. And occasionally you'll get surprised by, The Island.
Yeah, that's the first one I thought of.
That was a good one. Was it 13
Hours? 13
Hours
was 13 Hours really good.
Was really, he really good.
Is that the one with Jim from The Office?
Yes, and he was quite good in it, too.
He nailed
it. I was
surprisingly shocked. Good movie, and he looked surprisingly believable in a badass role.
Absolutely.
But that movie was also restrained for him. But occasionally shit would blow up, and I'd be like, that's fucking Michael Bay.
Vintage.
So he has the ability to do that when he wants to. But if he doesn't have restraints and can just go wild, he's like a red rocket dog. He's just going to go all over the fucking place. And it's going to be fucked.
God.
But, yeah. So. I mean, those would be my 2 favorites, per se. But I put a couple others down, too. I had John Woo. I think that's fair to say. But I think Tony Scott's a good one, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's a... I think it's a kind of a Michael Bay thing where he has his niche that he created when he was here. And you knew what you were getting into with his movies. And half the time it was Denzel. And I liked that marriage. But he's made so many good movies. And you forget how many he's actually made unless you go look at his filmography.
Okay,
it's relatively impressive.
Two questions along those lines. First of all, is there an action star who's as well-respected as a serious actor as Denzel?
No.
No.
Denzel's the shit.
Because he does both so well.
What about Mel Gibson?
Like subpar action films legitimacy because he's so good.
Yeah.
What about Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson used to be.
Used to be. Not anymore.
Are you kidding?
He's gone too far off the deep end.
I'll tell you what. I've seen a couple of these little movies he's put out on the side. He's still fucking got it, dude. Like, he's a really good... Like, doesn't change my opinion of the man. Like, that's all
it is.
But he's not only that. He's Denzel hasn't done comedy. Like, Gibson can do convincing comedy as well as drama, as well as badass action, and he's also a really good director.
Yeah. He's across the board insanely talented. I've always thought he's been... Well, for a long time, obviously, he was appreciated for a while. Now people just hate him because he's a douche.
Yeah.
But I still love him for what he's contributed to cinema. He's one of my favorites as far as that goes across the board. And he can act. And like you said, he does comedy really well. Even romantic comedy. Bird on a Wire, that is a great movie with him and Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
And even go, like, and that's going back. I mean, look at What Women Want or Maverick. Oh, yeah, Maverick.
And I hate rom-coms.
Oh, they're horrible.
Yeah.
But he was good.
It was watchable.
Okay. Yeah. And here's my two-parter. What's your opinion on the Tony Scott's... By the way, tragic story of that dude killing himself. But I never followed up on like what caused it. If they ever got behind, was he sick or was he just depressed or whatever? I don't remember hearing an answer on that. But what was your thought on the style, like the Man on Fire style of filmmaking, the deja vu style, where it's like... You know, Denzel's got the guy tied to the car with the bomb up his ass, and he's interrogating him, and it's like these flare-outs. It's like J.J. Abrams doing Star Trek flare-outs, and then, like, close-ups, and then repeat cuts of, like, the guy saying the thing twice, and the echo shots, and the time, like, stamps. Are you a fan of all that? Is that his style? Is that a little too, like...
It's not necessarily appealing to me, but I understand. It seemed more like he was experimenting and really trying to... do something different. But he did it. Most of those were with Denzel movies, too. So I don't know if it was partially his influence of the two of them working together. You can see that happen with directors all the time when they work with the same actor over and over.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is beneficial for both of them. And then some of them, I don't think they have the ability to achieve growth. And you might get like the Denzel, Tony Scott. I think they're good, entertaining movies. They're watchable. But I think nothing ever came beyond just that. What?
Oh, stab me in the eye again.
See, I wasn't doing it on purpose. Talk with my hands.
When you talk with your hands, get the sharp thing out of your fingers.
Take it away again.
Get him with the pointy end.
That's what I say. All right, but, so.
Yeah, I guess that's, I'm not a personal fan of it, but I get it.
I like it for, like, a minute. And, like, for whatever reason, Man on Fire seems to work for me.
Man on Fire was good, though.
Yeah,
but I think the style suits kind of the chaos of the story as well. It works as, like, an agent for the storytelling. I don't know that I like it in all of his films, necessarily. He did, what was the one we did about the oh, God. Never mind. I'll come back to it later. Anyway, the film I just saw with Gibson is called Bloodfather. And I would actually really recommend it. He's like an actual fucking badass in it. And I just saw him. He's in the trailer for Daddy's Home 2. He's going to be Mark Wahlberg's dad. And I think John Lithgow is playing Will Ferrell's dad. And it actually looks really funny. You should go watch the trailer.
I will. I love John Lithgow, too.
Yes. I do, too. He can be a psycho, too, man.
Dexter, he can be psycho and he can be funny.
Very
he's
funny.
Another one who can do both. I love it.
All right, let's go back to Turnout. Number two, name the best and worst Marvel and DC film.
I had a hard time picking my favorite Marvel. I have three. Avengers, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Deadpool. Probably Avengers out of those three, but I love those three all so much. Daredevil would be my least favorite of the Marvel. God awful.
I find Daredevil oddly rewatchable. It's so bad.
I tried watching a year or two ago, and it was so bad I couldn't even get through it. And DC probably be most people's picks. My favorite would be The Dark Knight. My least favorite, Batman and Robin.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's
Batman and Robin is god awful.
So the hard part comes with getting feedback. You guys, turn your speaker down or something, maybe, or turn it back up, down and up, whatever. I had a hard time with the best for Marvel because I'm obviously biased, but it comes down to me for the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, Winter Soldier. I think Winter Soldier is one of the best action films I've seen in years. I think Avengers is the culmination of my life. Like, it was all the big bads, and not only having their own movie, but coming together in what I thought was a good story by Joss Whedon. And Guardians is just the most unique thing I've ever seen. They had a talking raccoon and a fucking tree that says three words, and somehow they're the reason it's not supposed to work, and they're the most fucking interesting part about it, you know?
Yep.
So I'm torn. I think Guardians would be my favorite, but if I'm going to a desert island, I'm probably taking the Avengers with me, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
And as far as DC, it's clearly Christopher Nolan, and Batman Begins is my favorite, so I would go Batman Begins. For worst, I think you'd have to go back to the Corman films, like the old Fantastic Fours and shit, if you really want to get bad, but I don't know. If you're going with these modern ones, it's got to be one of the Hulks, probably, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't hate Eric Bana that bad.
But that movie is fucking boring. The Incredible Hulk was somewhat interesting.
It's so slow.
It is.
So slow.
So I remember I took two kids to see that, and one of them fell asleep. Like, it was that bad.
Like, even the action sequences weren't fun.
No. I appreciate what was attempted to be done there, but it just didn't work.
And for DC, I'd either go... It's either Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, or the Clooney Batman. It's one of those two. Those are clearly the worst ones. What about you, Heather?
For me, it was easy with Marvel. It was Guardians, hands down. I love it more every single time I watch it, and that's how I can tell how much I really enjoy a movie. If I watch it a second time, especially if I watch something in a theater, usually if I see something in the theater, I like it way more than I will afterwards.
Yes.
If I continue to like it and like it more, it says a lot about the movie itself. And that one just continues to get better and better. It's like you said, it's original. It's hilarious. It has great action in it. All the characters are freaking great. The casting is just spot on. I love James Gunn. He did an amazing job.
Well, it's his stamp that makes it so great. Like, it's his personality is, like, all over that film.
Yep. And you feel that. And there's something about it, too, that even though it's this crazy, expansive science fiction film, it also feels like really personal.
Yeah.
And nice. I think that's where most people can connect to it. And it's completely across the board friendly for any age. Any age. Which is beautimous. My least favorite Marvel probably currently is Iron Man 3.
Ooh. Over Iron Man 2?
Yeah. And you want to know why? Because I used to hate Iron Man 2 more, but as I watched it more, I hate it a little less. There are parts of it that I really, really enjoy, and parts of it that really piss me off.
If you take off Mickey Rourke and Whiplash, it's actually not too bad of a movie.
And Sam Rockwell saved so much for me in that.
He's great.
Fucking phenomenal. And that is a huge saving grace for me in that one. But 3, I can't even watch it again.
Well, I actually think Iron Man 3 is a really interesting film because it mirrors it actually sets the tone for Spidey Homecoming because it's the one where Tony kind of has to deal with the guy inside the suit before he can be the guy in the suit. Does that make sense?
I get the story. It just was. Well, it was boring.
It was
too.
Another one with bad villains.
And bad villains. Yeah. Bad villains. And it was boring.
These guys get really hot.
And some of the CGI in it was the fucking crap CGI that pisses me off that the Marvel movies have not been doing. That was the first one where I felt like they were pumping it out and just trying to get another movie out without taking the time to really, really work on the character work and all of the special effects, etc. together.
See,
and
that's the Shane Black one. That's the Shane Black one. I feel like if anyone put thought into it, it was them with their working relationship. You know what I mean?
Perhaps, but that's not how I felt about it. It didn't come across right. And again, I've watched it 1.5 times. I didn't get through it the second time. I was like, fuck this.
Okay, fair enough.
So, and I'm butthurt too because I expect more from Iron Man. I love Iron Man. My DC, my favorite is actually Constantine.
Constantine's a good fucking movie.
I love that movie so much. Yeah. That movie, I cannot rave enough about that movie. I bring it up all the time whenever I can for people that haven't heard of it or haven't watched it because it's so fucking good. With Keanu?
No, I haven't. I know what you're talking about now, but no, I haven't.
Oh, you need to, like, do that right when this is over.
Shit, I want to give him a shot. I saw it with you in the theater. Just
I'll
buy
make sure
it.
I watch it.
Buy it. Seriously, you will thank me. That movie's fucking so underrated and outstanding. More people need to know about it and watch it. End of discussion.
Keanu Reeves is a national treasure.
Yes, I love that man more and more all the time.
I said, in fact, wait. I told you I was going to watch John Wick 2, and then I get back to you on it, and it did kick ass. And I love the way it ended, and I love that it's clearly setting up a trilogy. And I hope they do it justice. Like, I hope it rounds out the entire. I hope it ends, and the next one starts immediately, and he takes every motherfucker down in the last one.
He's gonna have to, because the way they left the end there
was
pretty.
Everyone's coming after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, everybody walking around you is like it's like they're all agents now. It could be the bum on the street.
Yeah,
is a fucking gut, you know.
But hey, it was Ian McShane.
Yeah,
calling it. So he's bought it. By the way, it's hot here too. Boob sweat. Video's fun. So my least favorite is pretty. I figured it was pretty easy to go with Batman and Robin, and I think it's fair to say that is, and nobody's gonna argue that. But Catwoman was fucking dog shit too.
Oh, oh yeah,
that one, rightfully so.
Yeah, I think about it all the time because it's one of those things where you start talking about, you know, who should play this role or whatever. And it was actually one of the last shows we did where we were talking about characters that we liked and blah 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 and female action movie stars that should get their own movie.
Yeah.
And I said Catwoman, but the right way this time. Yes.
Well, it's odd too because, like, I don't know about you guys. I think people in general give Batman Forever a little bit of a pass, the Val Kilmer one. I think Val Kilmer was decent. And it's
too bad.
Yeah, so whatever reason, like, I don't know what happened from Batman and Forever to Batman and Robin. Like, Schumacher was clearly trying to work within Burton's world, but, like, inject the 60s tropes from the West Batman into it in this darker world, and it's just, like, something went off a cliff, though, from Forever, because Forever's over the top, but that last one is just fucking batshit, man.
Yeah,
they didn't want it to be dark and dreary anymore. They wanted it to be a little bit lighter and not as depressing, and, oh, well, we don't want Batman to be, you know, sad or mad or
anything.
I
think it's the only Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that I won't watch.
That makes no sense, too, based on the success of the first two Batman films. Like, oh, this isn't working. We're backing up trucks full of cash. Let's change shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's go to question number three. Back to Turtle. What is the best thing about Marvel films currently and the worst?
What I love about Marvel, especially the MCU and all this, is, man, they've nailed the castings down. Almost every single character I see playing, I can't see anybody else playing it, or they just do such a good job. I'm like, wow, that was really good. I really, really love how much, I don't know if it's, you know, we don't care about big name or the biggest names or whatever. We're going to get the right person, or we just don't want to pay. And they just gotten lucky and gotten the right people. But I love how they've casted everybody. And my least favorite is stop bringing everyone back to life, please. Everyone dies and then they come back. Kill them and be done with.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Stop killing them off and bringing them back. Just leave them dead.
The problem with that is that it ruins some of the intensity when you see someone die. You're like, they'll just come back.
And then it's an immediate
mistake.
Are they dead or are they actually alive?
Yeah, there's no Game of Thrones. They're dead. Or are they dead?
Well, that's hard, too. And, you know, it's funny because Whedon's, like, notorious for this shit. Like, he's a guy that, like, kill your darlings, dude. Like, you know, killing Wash off. Like, that shit hurts and you want to revert time. But it fucking sticks with
you. Why'd
you
bring it up?
I'm right here.
I know. Thank you.
I'm right here.
Alan Tudyk.
And I think you're kind of like spot on too. I think it's more the money thing. Like I they are great at casting, you know, who knew Human Torch would be a great Captain America, but like they rope these guys in that have a lot of talent at like an early point in their career for the most part. Now Downey Jr. being the exception, but he's kicking off the franchise and he's getting boatloads of cash now. But a lot of these guys were roped for six, seven, eight films in their original contracts.
Yeah.
But what we're going to see now is there's so many of them, we're going to see dudes get killed off. I don't know if you know this. Captain America, Chris Evans, he's only got, I think, two or three films left in his contract. It's just the two Infinity Wars,
and that's it.
No, I think Infinity Wars counts as one on his contract.
Oh, okay.
So he has one more appearance due, possibly. And I don't know how, like, I mean, he's in the outtakes.
Do cameos count?
Yeah, does it include a cameo? Or?
No, like I think they probably pay him a little money to come in and do that on a weekend kind of thing. But I know that Sebastian Shaw, if that's his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, he's got a big contract, yeah.
He's got seven. Stan. Yeah, and Sebastian Stan. And he, in the comics, for a long time, took up the Winter Soldier took up the mantle of Captain America.
Yes.
So as we move into Phase 4, and as we're just introducing some new characters into this Avengers lineup, where we're going to have Spider-Man and Ant-Man and Wasp, and we're going to have these other Avengers, we're going to get Captain Marvel. So I think we're going to start to see these old guys phased out. I think Rogers is going to die. Yeah, we're going to see different incarnations of these characters. For me, the greatest thing about this is we're seeing something that's never happened before, which is this story told over now 15 plus. I mean, we're going to go over 20 films telling a story here. It's kind of unprecedented. Across franchises, across characters, with large name actors, done well, surviving things like cast members leaving the process. It's going to be really interesting when we all look back on it. People are sad that we're getting a little saturated with it, but like we're kind of being spoiled to a certain extent.
Yes.
And it's really neat to see. The worst thing about it... What's that?
Spoil me. Keep going. Yeah. I enjoy them all.
Yeah. And I'm even cool with them spinning in a new direction and leaving these guys behind, like I said, and going in that route. That would be really neat, too. The worst thing about it, I think, is just like a little bit... I think, like Heather was saying, like a little bit of the Iron Man sequels getting pushed so far up front. They could have developed those more. Not enough crossover, you know.
And it wasn't early on. They're just finally starting to do it a little bit now.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
that was my one complaint. I pretty much was my favorite thing is the casting. I think they've done, like you said, phenomenal job, and they've been very consistent with most of the movies. Like pretty much, I mean, I had to pick Iron Man 3, but that's because it was that being the worst one in Marvel, it's probably one of the better. If compared against the DC groups, as far as I'm concerned. So it being the worst isn't really that big of an insult as far as it goes. And I'm comparing it against the other Marvel films, not superhero films.
Yeah, there's people functioning here and people functioning here.
Yeah. So that is within that realm and that world and that universe. However, I really do like that there's crossovers in the movies, but Civil War, that didn't feel like that was a Captain America movie, which is probably why I enjoyed it more. It felt like it was another Avengers movie with everybody in it.
Which more of them should feel like.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, as long as that's what it's supposed to be. But I don't know how that's going to apply to characters if they're going to start doing other origin stories or whatever with people that, normal people that aren't into comic books and don't know all the backstories, how they're going to feel about getting to know these people. Are they going to have, like, I like that they're going to just zip up Spidey's origin story and not address it. But how is that going to be for other people that don't know anything about it? Are they still going to be able to connect with his character? Is he going to be able to stand on his own? Blah, 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 blah. Those are the questions I have for other people, where it's fine with me.
Okay.
Which isn't really that big of a complaint.
No, I mean, it's like, well, it wasn't the best I've ever had, but it's really fucking damn good. It's like that sort of thing, you know what I mean? It's not McDonald's by any means. Do we want to do this with DC? We had that written on there.
Yeah, I have one... My DC one was a little bit easier.
Go.
All right. What I love about DC is the villains. Their villains are just phenomenally good. They're so much better than the heroes that I'm continually wanting to root for the bad guys in them.
That. Exactly that.
But the thing I don't like about DC is make fun of yourself every now and then. Like, you take everything way too seriously. The best, greatest, you know... superhero that there is, Batman, he dresses up like a bat. Make fun of it that he's dressing up like a bat every now and then, okay?
Yep.
Well, the oh, shit, now my phone won't work. Are you kidding me? This is, like, perfect opportunity.
This is beautiful.
Bring the baby back. Sorry, there's a video going on. This
Bring
is
the
a
baby
moment
back.
For us.
It's a dragon, god damn it. Call him the right name. Look at him. It's like,
aww,
the fuck?
That's so adorable. Okay, I'm with you on that. However, I did notice, like, it looks like Justice League, Aquaman's going to make some comments about the bat thing. It seems like they might be getting a little more tongue-in-cheek or taking a call. My problem is that the whole thing's too goddamn dark.
It
really is a big difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel's very light, and Disney is very dark. And it doesn't mean, I'm not talking about the themes they deal with. I just mean, like, the films themselves. They're too CGI heavy. It's just, everything's in shadows, and it just needs to be, like, a little, like, I don't want Christopher Reeve's Superman. I like the edgier take on Man of Steel, but I don't know. It just doesn't, like, the new Justice League, if Wonder Woman hadn't been great, I wouldn't give a shit about Justice League. Now I'm kind of interested in Justice League.
Yeah.
As far as...
Well, I'm, and for me, honestly, that's one of the few things that I've heard Wonder Woman is good, so I want to see it. And I will see it, but it's going to be a DVD for me. I have no interest in rushing to the theater to see it still, even with all the praise it's gotten. And that's how I feel about DC, where it's completely different with most of the Marvel films. I'm going to do my best to get to the theater and see them in the theater. But I think you guys both hit it. They have definitely have way better fucking villains. That was the thing I liked about Suicide Squad. I was like, yes, they're doing fucking villains. And then they fucked that up, too. How did they fuck that up?
Because the villains don't have good villains.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You have poop head guys running around. Come on, you can do better than that.
It was awful. But anyway, that's kind of where I fall into with that, too. But it is. And the good guys, you don't want to root for them. They're kind of, like, even... Batman is my favorite superhero. Batman always has been. I'm to the point where, with the Ben Affleck one, I'm just kind of going, quit fucking whining. Quit fucking whining. So your parents got killed. Lots of people have had bad things happen. You live in Gotham City. At least you have money.
You're
billionaire. And do some shit. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. And I shouldn't feel that way about my favorite superhero.
True.
But I am, I'm getting more invested because Wonder Woman is supposedly kind of giving that whole.
And
woo-hoo.
She's really, 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 really hot.
That helps.
Well,
and also,
I think Momoa's gonna bring something to it too.
Yeah.
And he's so fucking charismatic, and even when he's playing more intense characters, there's something still light about his presence. Mm-hmm. And I think he could bring that to the whole entire world that they're trying to create with the Justice League. I hope so. Because I really want him to be successful.
Dude.
I don't want any more Venice.
He's a goddamn Game of Thrones treasure. He's going to be welcome at geek conventions his entire life, and he's fucking Lisa Bonet. Like, his life's good. You don't need to worry about him, okay?
I know. He'll be happy no matter what. He's a happy person. I'm being selfish. I want as much of him as I can have.
Well, what else is
there? I never thought I was going to see him after Ronin on fucking Stargate Atlantis. By the way, Turtle, tell Kai what my wallpaper is.
Stargate Atlantis.
Question
and
number four.
It's not Momoa. It's just an Atlantis beauty shot.
Question number four.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up about a television show. It's a goddamn film podcast. Question number four. You know what? Hit her.
Ow!
Yes!
Her arm's
love
starting
this
to get
power. Question number four, back to Turtle, while Heather gets her breath. What is the best and worst worst movie superhero suit of all time? And be specific. Like,
the worst?
Yeah.
That would be Batman and Robin's Batman Batnips.
Feels like the easy answer.
It is easy because it was so god-awful.
You didn't really want to touch those nipples a little bit? I mean, they were George Clooney's.
I mean, yeah. But it was still awful. I mean, every costume in that, besides Poison Ivy's, and that entire movie was so horrible. Poison Ivy was all right in that, but, I mean, Bane was bad. Batgirl and Robin were... It was all god-awful.
Yeah,
you make Alicia Silverstone look not sexy.
Yeah,
you've got problems.
You messed up big time.
They made her look nice.
What about best?
Best? I love the Punisher, because it's just simple, and he's...
Which one?
It just enhances his... Yeah, he's just basically a killer doing good things. But I also have a little shout-out to I Love War Machine, because not only is he got the Iron Man suit, but he's got a bajillion guns on it, and that just gives me a big old boner.
It's like Iron Man with guns! America! Which Punisher, though? You didn't answer that.
Is there really a difference in them?
Yeah, there is, actually.
The Thomas Jane one, so I'll have to go with that one.
You're going with Thomas Jane?
Yeah, that's the only Punisher I've seen.
That's the one where his kid buys him the shirt in a fucking gift shop.
Yeah, but he still looks badass. Oh. I don't care where he bought it from.
On the Daredevil show,
He's really good on that.
He paints it on a t-shirt, which I think is badass, because he also smells like spray paint all the time, that means, when he's walking around beating guys up.
Little contact high while he's
killing
people.
Charlie Day.
And then they did that one, the Punisher Warzone one, and I don't even remember where that dude got his. And that guy's in Thor. I just thought of that. How funny. The guy that played the second Punisher is one of Thor's buddies from...
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Oh, Heather... Heather, this is just, you guys, like, can't see what she does. I can hear it through her voice when I don't even have to see her. I didn't ask for that, but I appreciate it. Ray Stevenson, here. I can actually show you a picture because we're here. Ray Stevenson, this guy.
Oh, yeah, he plays the dude with the big mustache in it, right?
Yeah, he's got a huge beard.
Yeah, I can't see it, but I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So, is it my turn? Sure, let's go with me. So, worst, I gotta go Green Goblin. I said it earlier.
Oh,
I fucking hate that, dude.
That was horrible.
It really kills that movie for me. The other one, the one I really like, God, which one do I really like? Like I said, I really like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man costume, but I wouldn't call that one the best. It's probably, I've always had an affinity for Nolan's Batman Begins one because he explains all the tech and makes it realistic.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Down to carving the little ninja stars, the bat stars, and the way he's able to fly using the fabric with the magnetic charges and all that. And he explains how the suit's made, and I think that makes it really interesting. At the same time, I actually really like the Ben Affleck Batman costume because it reminds me of the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns Batman. So, Batman probably, I mean, fuck, even the Keaton one was interesting because they switched the costume all black. You know, it wasn't like that before. So, like, one of those Batmans, probably the Batman Begins one for me. What about you, Heather?
My favorite and least favorite is Catwoman. my favorite is the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman. I love that fucking costume. Meow. But it's sexy, but it also, she's able to do all the shit she is in it, and they show how she makes it, which
yeah,
I think is fucking
cool.
Sweet. And it shows how crazy Selena's gone, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. That one is fantastic. And my least favorite is the Halle Berry one. It looks fucking stupid.
She's wearing, like, isn't she?
She's wearing a bra and some ripped-up 80s fucking pants. She just looks like she left a Guns N' Roses
concert. She went Kelly Bundy!
Which is fine if it's the 80s and you're at a Guns N' Roses concert. And then she just put a fucking... And even the Catwoman mask she's wearing is horrible. And if you make Halle Berry look bad, you should be fucking shot. Because that bitch is beautiful.
Michelle Pfeiffer does have a good costume. It would look better on the floor next to my bed. Okay, question number five.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a while. She might be a bit old now.
I don't care.
No, I don't think so. I
don't think so either. I bet she's aged like wine.
Probably.
Yeah, for her age, I bet she looks better than women 10 years younger than her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She is beautiful. I think she's one of the most beautiful women ever on the planet, born and alive. I
agreed.
Love her.
I saw her at Disneyland once in real life.
Lucky you.
Yeah, she was
in jail.
Gorgeous.
I touched her. I don't know where or how, but I would have touched her. It'd been like touching fucking magic and beauty.
All right, Heather wants to talk, so let's let her do this one. Question number five. Name the three movies you're most amped for the rest of this year, 2017. What's left?
Okay, when I was checking, I made my list, and then I checked to see if there was anything that I missed. And there's one that I'm very curious about, and I don't know why I haven't heard about, probably because it's on purpose, because they're sneaky.
Oh, you're going to take mine.
Yeah, I know it! First one, Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars.
Duh.
Do we need it even, like...
It's number one. Is that number one for all three of us? Can we just knock that out?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one.
Star Wars. I mean, all of us are going to pick Star Wars. It is. Bleh. Suck
Star
it.
Wars.
Everyone just go watch it and shut up and quit complaining.
Who's complaining?
I'm so tired of people complaining about Star Wars movies.
They're building a land for it. No one...
Yeah. Everyone can suck my butt. It's not going anywhere, and it's great, and it's not perfect, But that's what's beautiful about all Star Wars. It's flawed. And in spite of all those flaws, we still fucking love it. So suck my
obsessed
butt.
With it.
Obsessed. Why your butt?
I don't know. I'm on my butt right now.
She always
probably
is.
Because it's a little sweaty. It's hot.
Somebody
here.
Needs to be. Am I right? All right, go.
Woo-hoo. All right. And then my next one is I'm actually pretty excited about Thor. I like both. I like the second movie. I know a lot of people didn't. I thought it was fun.
I did not.
I thought it was a good time. There was a lot of Loki in it, too, which...
It feels like a filler movie in the MCU.
It was, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was exactly what it was supposed to be. It's kind of forgettable, but it was totally fun to go see. But the new one, the trailer's fucking phenomenal. And I love my sparkly-eyed Chris Hemsworth. He's fantastic as Thor.
Of course he is.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. And my other one is there's going to be a new Cloverfield movie. Ah!
Yeah, I
know!
I texted Dylan this like a month or two ago. I was checking out what movies were coming up for the game that we play about the box office. God damn it, you two. And I saw, I knew a trilogy was in the works, but I didn't know that it was scheduled to be out this year. They are so secretive about them. It's, like, amazing. So my understanding is that we're going to get, like, a little more, maybe, like, well, I don't really know much. There was theorized maybe back to more of the big action of the first one or In the City, but, again, not tied to the other stories.
And they don't even have a title. It just says Cloverfield movie.
It just says Cloverfield movie. It's coming out.
They don't fucking do this with movies ever anymore.
No,
it's
don't.
So awesome. I love it so much. It makes me excited.
And it's the Halloween movie.
Shit. Yes.
It's a Halloween movie for us this year. So
it
that's
is.
Kind
it's
of
October.
Neat too.
It's for my birthday. Smeagol. My precious.
Here's one I stumbled across while I was going through that I thought you'd be excited about that I had not heard about. On August 25th, they are releasing T2 Judgment Night 3D. Did you know
really?
That? Judgment Day. Did I say Judgment Night?
Yes,
you did,
said
but
Judgment
I knew
Night.
What you meant. And
I
just
kept familiar with the movie. Sorry.
Even though you correct me all the time, even though I'm right all the time. I'm just nicer.
Would you person. Go see it in 3D? Would you go to the theater to see it in 3D, Heather?
Yeah, I went to see... Fuck it. I don't like 3D for the most part, but if I can go see it on the big screen again, fuck it. I'm going
yeah,
to go see it.
Yeah, the big screen will be worth the 3D.
We saw it in 1992... with our mom and dad. He was, how old were you then? You were like...
92?
Yeah, you were like 7 or 8.
Eight,
he was 8. And I was 10. And my parents took us. Ha ha! Fuck everybody.
Suck my butt, other parents!
Times changed.
And the theater that we were in, we actually live right around the corner from now, but they had to mow it down and put a new theater in.
Because that theater was a hunk of crap.
It was, but it wasn't when we went and saw Terminator.
No, it was, well, it was new then.
It was very new. It was fancy. They had bouncy seats.
Yeah, the problem is I go on too many tangents. So let me get back to my list. I had on my list, Cloverfield's up there for sure. Star Wars was up there. Thor Ragnarok looks interesting for this reason. A, I think it was really interesting to bring in, I'm going to say his name wrong, Taika Waititi to direct the movie. I think he's going to do something. The trailer to me looks like James Gunn did this movie. This movie looks like Guardians of the Galaxy. We're also getting, it looks like, the Planet Hulk storyline from the comics, which is very popular. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on screen. Can't be things in the background. No kids!
It's my child. I'll punch him later.
See,
we'll punch her now so she remembers. And then I'd say my final... Yeah, perfect.
Ow!
She fake cries, I think. I think she 4-2 fake cries.
Fuck you! We can hit you!
You're just pissing Sharp everyone. Way. All right, maybe it's karma you're being hit. The other one I want to throw out there that is growing on me, because I'm honestly not a big fan of the original. People regard it as one of the greatest sci-fi films of all time. But I am interested in the Blade Runner sequel.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was up there before. Actually, it was on my list, and I crossed it off once I saw Cloverfield.
Yeah. Okay, so we're on the same page. What about you? Turtle, did we do yours? Go.
Last Jedi, obviously, number one. Thor would be number two for me. And I debated between Justice League and Blade Runner for my third of most anticipated.
You guys should come over. We all want to see the same shit. It's crazy.
I know. We could all not go see movies together.
We could all go get it. We'll all throw $10 down on a fucking Fire Stick with Cody and just watch it from the living room. Question number six. Let's go to Turtle. Give me one of your favorite lines of movie dialogue. Heather wanted, by the way, Heather wrote all these and she wanted to do favorite screenplay. I don't know how many screenplays you guys actually read. I read some.
I do too.
Zero.
Sometimes.
Okay. So
I don't
yeah.
think I put that on my list for him. I think I just gave you that as a bunch of shit afterwards.
I don't know because you just vomited into an email and sent it and then you act proud like a dog that shit on the lawn next to like his pee pad, you know? You're like, I did this. I got closer. Congratulations.
So. But you use my shit, so.
Yeah, I do. That's mainly because I'm lazy. That's a whole nother issue. But I thought for Turno, it might be easy. Let's just go with something written, a line of dialogue written that you enjoy. So what would be yours?
All right, mine comes from movie Snatch.
Oh, yeah.
Bullet Tooth Tony. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you've got replica written down the side of your guns and the fact I've got Desert Eagle .50 written down the side of mine would precipitate your balls shrinking along with your presence. My favorite line from any movie ever.
That is great. Right. By the way, guns, America! So,
America!
Fuck yeah!
So, there's a lot of good ones in Snatch. Like, you could even do all the stuff that Dennis Farina says in that movie.
I think Desperate says in any movie.
Yes.
Yeah,
fuck,
seriously.
Fuck.
So here's mine. I'm a big fan of Christopher McQuarrie, and I don't think his movies recently have been quite as exciting as a lot of stuff he did early on. But the first film that he... Well, the first film we came to know him for was he wrote The Usual Suspects. Okay?
Ooh.
And Singer directed it. The first movie that McQuarrie wrote and directed was The Way of the Gun, which is a movie I love.
That's great! With Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, and one of them is called Mr. Parker, which I like especially. But so here's the thing. I love the way McQuarrie writes dialogue, and it's got two of my favorite lines. And the funny thing is, one is very – I want to include them both just to show the diversity of him because one is very, like, vulgar, and I think one is very intelligent. And they both stuck with me. At the beginning of the film, a very young Sarah Silverman is being a bitch yelling at them from line – and he turns around and he goes, shut that bitch up before I come over there and fuck start her face. I think it's like one of the greatest lines ever. And then they get in a huge brawl with the entire crowd of people. Later in the film, there's this really subtle line that I really like. It's really well written that says, a woman needs security like a man needs approval. I don't know why that's always stuck with me. I just think it's a very true line and a really well written sentence. And I've always liked it. And they both come from that film and I really like it. So that's mine.
I like them. Those were good choices.
Yep. Thanks.
Heather.
Mine are a little bit more silly.
Shut the fuck up before... No, go ahead.
I think all of us that love movies, we... God, my arm is starting to hurt. Ow, that was my face, fucker.
Oh, bitch.
Ow!
And now this.
I think we all talk in movie quotes all the time, probably. But for the most part, we apply it in conversations, and I find it most enjoyable to apply it in conversations where other people don't know that you're actually quoting a movie.
Yeah, fun game.
I'll do it in shows too. Scrubs is the one I like to do it with most. He's the only person that ever gets Scrubs.
I've tried to tell my kids to watch Scrubs, and they won't. They love Parks and Rec. They love The Office. We're telling they want a new show. They won't.
Then they'll love it.
Yeah, but we're telling them, so it's like, yeah. What the fuck do you know? Kind of thing.
It's my favorite TV comedy of all time.
It's so good. Guy love, man.
I love it. We both... Guy love. I always think, whenever I hear that song, I think of you and Dylan.
Yeah, me too.
Always. Always. I sing it, I'm thinking of you guys. So I tend to do that just in regular conversation. And I don't always realize I'm doing it. Like, my favorite right now, currently, is Lunchtime Slime Ball. I say this to my child every fucking time I sit him in his high chair.
What is that from?
Tremors!
Lunchtime Slime? Oh, yeah, when they're feeding him the bombs?
Yeah.
Tremors does not get enough credit. There's, like, I always tell you my favorite one is when he says, I'm a victim of circumstance, and he goes, I thought you call it your pecker.
Your pecker.
Yeah, like, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
I still wake up my son and say Stampede every now and then.
Yeah. Yes! Yes!
You gotta jump on his bed and bounce and do it.
The other one that I do all the time and I do not think of, and that is one of my favorites, is Sam Jackson, Jurassic Park. It's when I'm driving. I tell the kids, hold on to your butts.
Okay, I've got a new Jurassic Park one that's going on in my house. There's a scene in Jurassic World where Bryce Dallas Howard yells run, but she says it in a way that, like, struck a chord with me. So now whenever, like, we need to move or something's happening in a movie, I go, run! That's how she says it, and it annoys me.
It's fantastic.
She, like, over-enunciates the N. Like, run!
No one would say it that way in that scenario,
no.
Ever.
Wouldn't say shit. I'd run and let him meet my friends.
There's a baby in the window. It's a dragon.
The Jacksons are over? Okay.
I'm going to show you what's happening in my house.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
You got stuff attached here, woman.
Can you see what's out there?
No, and neither can our listener. Oh, God, there's a baby in the window. That's kind of creepy. Have you guys seen Annabelle?
Scream. What's that?
Nothing. Nothing. Let's go on to the final question. Question number 7. Turno, who is the greatest movie MILF? And we're going to stick to hot moms for this, not just older, attractive women. They have to be mothers. And I'm getting Stifler's mother out of the equation because
she's not hot.
Well, there's something attractive about the scene, I would say, but she's the go-to.
The scene, yes, but not the. I have two. When I read the question, the first one that popped in my head was Diane Lane from Unfaithful.
Yep.
So hot. But then thinking about it more, and I had just recently saw Bad Moms, so the love of my life is Mila Kunis. So. Those are my two.
That's saw part of that the other night on TV. Yeah, she's very attractive for me.
Was it good?
I only got about a half an hour into it. The beginning was depressing.
So I wouldn't like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably got funny, but the beginning was so sad.
He only got three minutes into it like a porn, and then he was like tired and had to go to bed.
Yeah. Well, that's how I am with rom-coms or chick flicks. So if he's seen them and he likes them, then I know that they're okay.
Okay, so I did run Google for this one, and I was just like jogging ideas. I went to a few different sites, and this one occurred to me, and I remember thinking she was very attractive, and it was Jane Seymour in Wedding Crashers.
She was in that.
Nice. She's so beautiful.
Yeah. Until she tries to sell me that fucking heart-shaped diamond, and then I'm like, was that her?
Yeah, that's her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her.
Oh, God. If I ever bought, like, every divorce begins with K, okay? Like, seriously. Like, my wife would laugh at me if I brought home an open haul collection diamond. I swear to God, no, not happening. What about you, Heather?
Mine is Maria Bello in A History of Violence. I've had a thing for her forever anyway. There's just something about her that's so damn understated and sexy.
Yeah, and she did the same thing in The Cooler. Like, same vibe as History of Violence with, like, a gnarly sex scene.
I love her. And I just thought she was just, so hot in that. And, you know, she's a mom. And she's a good mom.
Counts. I'll take it.
Good moms need spankings, too.
Shut up.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So, as you'll notice, that was question number 7. Means we're at the end. However, I'm not getting rid of tradition just yet. We have this theory that everyone does a bad celebrity impression. I want to use that to end our segment today. Mr. Turno, the plate is yours. Step up and swing away.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Was that
Sam
like
Jackson from Rules of Engagement.
Felt like a very country Sam Jackson, I'm going to be honest with you.
Thank you.
He had guns. America. All right, this brings us to the end of this. Let's go play the game. Here's some music about it.
The game, don't blow it, the game.
So the game is simple. I have chosen 3 films for you. For each film, I will give you 7 clues. They are all taken from IMDb. They include the year and genre of the film, actors in the film, tagline, director. If you were to guess it on the first clue, you would get 7 points. Second clue, 6 points, so on down. Perfect score is 21. Probably not going to happen. We say that if you've gotten 12 or better, you've done pretty good. Now, we have instituted a timer rule. I'm pretty flexible on it, but we try to do it about 10 seconds per guest to keep the show moving. So, are you ready for your film's turn up?
Yeah, you're going to hear me say pass a lot.
We don't accept pass. In fact, just take that and like, just name a movie. Like, I don't care. Just say.
It doesn't matter how wrong it is. We're going to make fun of you no matter what.
Oh, that's fair.
Actually, Kai will. I'll just be nice because you're going to punch me.
My hand's kind of starting to hurt.
Don't imagine how my arm feels.
Kung Pao, enter the fist. All right. For 7 points, the first one is a 1988 comedy.
Can you tell her to not do anything?
I can tell her. I tell her every fucking
Lethal
week.
Lethal Weapon,
Turo.
That's a comedy.
Okay, I'll take it. I just lost my screen. Come back. Come back, screen.
That's rude.
Nah, my face is probably on there too long, and I just got
4,
sad.
6, points, Shannon Doherty is in this movie.
Oh.
Ooh.
88. Wow. Comedy. Shannon Doherty.
Only movie I can think of her within is Mallrats, so I'll just say that.
Okay. For 5 points, the tagline of this film is a killer comedy.
I know what it is. He should.
I don't.
There's a really big hint near you.
You should shut the fuck up, Heather.
That's not
going to
help him, Kai.
Yeah, it will not
at all. Trust me, I know my brother.
Scary movie.
For 4 points, Winona Ryder is in this movie.
Oh, man, I am lost.
And Shannon Doherty is not the lead actress in this film. She's a supporting
actress.
Well,
I still cannot think of another movie she was in other than Mallrats.
I don't think you've ever actually seen this.
I probably haven't. So,
Well, you're going to love the director.
Iron Man.
You know of it, but you haven't. I don't know if you've seen it.
All right, this is going to give it away. The director is Michael Lehman.
Oh, yeah, that gave it away. Oh, big time. Yeah, we'll say Thor.
Okay. For 2 points, Christian Slater is the other star of this movie.
Wow.
Christian Slater and Winona Ryder.
It's Christian Slater.
Killer movie from 1988.
Killer!
Comedy.
Comedy.
Witchcraft.
For 1 point, say the name of the person next to you in a plural form.
Heathers?
For 1 point, that is correct.
Told you you wouldn't get it.
This is going to be bad.
I don't even recall hearing that movie ever mentioned before.
Okay, here we go. Movie number 2 for 7 points is, and I never do this, a 2013 adventure comedy animation.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't do the animated ones very often.
I love what I've started to do with the game. It's really fun.
Cars 2?
I think...
For 6 points, Snoop Dogg is a voice in this movie. And he was high.
I was about to say, was he high doing this?
Is he ever not high?
No, he's always high. That's why you can't tell if he's high or not.
He looks like an evil genius in his chair, rocking back and forth.
Oh, man. I don't know. Incredibles.
For 5 points, the tagline is, he's fast, they're furious.
Oh, Turbo?
That is correct. It is Turbo. Yeah.
I had never gotten that.
I actually saw that in the theaters.
Thanks. All right. Hey.
He's good, Dad. He takes his
I remember Snoop Dogg
like
in it now.
Now, what does Heather call you?
Hmm?
What does Heather call you?
Turbo.
Okay. Think about the answers so far.
Oh, Heather's in Turbo.
Oh, why don't we see if there's a theme going? Nobody's picking up on this.
Last time. I love that you're doing this. It's so fun.
I love that I'm doing this, too.
Right over my head.
All right. Here we go. For 7 points, this is a 2011 comedy drama that you've probably never seen. Based on what I know.
The whore.
The whore?
Yeah, well, you're saying it's a theme. She's a big old flapping whore.
Everyone loves me so much.
Wow.
I'm so glad I have like a big giant ball of self-esteem, you bastards.
You know what, Heather? Hit him!
Yeah!
For 6 points, I'm actually going to make this easier. I'm going to give you two names of two people that are in it. Okay?
Okay.
For 6 points, Elizabeth Banks and Rashida Jones are both in this movie.
He knows Elizabeth Banks.
Yes.
She's in his
I don't bank. Recall her being...
movies?
That's...
2011?
Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Austin Powers, because I don't know.
Okay. For 5 points, the tagline is, everybody has one. And it's not Dick the movie.
The finger?
I'm not taking that either.
I have no idea.
Heather's face right now, ever since you held up your finger and kind of twisted it around in the air, she has a look of like, oh God.
It's stinky. Bink, bink, bink.
Bink, bink,
bink, bink, bink, bink, bink, bink.
She's getting me confused over here. I can't think.
I don't have to help you do that.
He's going to say Spaceballs to everything now.
Spaceballs, there you go.
Asshole.
All right. Adam Scott is in this movie.
My brain's completely
blanked. I have no idea. Captain America.
This
one. I like how he just answers fun fucking answers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's fun. It's funny. Okay. Some people like will sit there and get all brain hurt trying to come up with something when they don't know the answer.
Oh, I'm brain hurt. Trust me.
There's like, we gave away a box of shit to the person that did the best on this over several rounds. We sent them a box of shit. Not literal shit, but it was just junk. And people like try really hard at this, and I don't get why. Like, you can go get your own, like, you can get more shit at the dollar store. So, four... 3 points. I'm not even gonna. I'm gonna tell you the director is Jesse Peretz, but you're not gonna know that. So I'm just gonna tell you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you Zooey Deschanel is also in this movie. Being really nice.
That girl's in that movie. I need to watch it.
Why don't you know this?
I don't know. Watch these movies.
It's a comedy.
That might be related. All these girls.
Romantic comedy. I don't watch romantic comedies.
Sometimes if there's not enough ass in it, you just watch Bad Moms for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You watch some other chick flick.
Avengers.
Time!
I said Avengers.
You watch Bridesmaids.
No, I tried to. That was another depressing one.
Oh. See, can you just back me up on one thing, Turtle? Like, is it impossible to think sometimes when she just talks nonstop?
That was my entire life growing up. That's why I can't think.
And now it's mine every other Saturday from noon to 2, sometimes 3. Okay. For 1 point, or for 2 points, the star of this film, playing a bit of a hippie, our good friend, Ant-Man himself, Paul Rudd.
Feeling like I should know this.
You're going to kick yourself.
I might.
Because this one, maybe.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Damn you.
Okay, I'm not even going to like try and help you with this one. I'm going to tell you for 1 point, the film is called Our Idiot Brother.
Oh.
I vaguely remember seeing that advertised, and
our
I would have never
brother.
Guessed it.
Yay!
Good job.
Yeah. Okay, I loved it. Okay, I got to watch Heather through the whole thinking process after I said that. So basically, it was a minute of, what the? Why would you choose it? Like, that was a fit. And then she goes, oh, yeah, this was themed. And then she's like, oh, my God, that was awesome.
Well, touche.
All right, so I think
you're doing these now.
I think you got a score of 6.
I think it's better than I've done the past couple times.
I'll take it. You know what? It was great. And you know what? I had fun having you on the show. So thank you for being here with us for our anniversary, Mr. Trudeau.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's always fun.
Not to get too formal. Heather?
Yes, Kai?
Do we want to plug anything before we go?
Yes. You can follow us on Instagram. We're MILFcast, and we have lots of nice things on there. I think I might start putting all sorts of more nice things on there. You can also follow us on Facebook.
Me boobs.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Why not?
Boobs.
Oh, by the way, let me ask you this: do you get a lot? Let me ask you this right at the end of the show. Do you get a lot of friend requests on Instagram and Facebook from people that say, "Come to my website if you want to touch my boobs," like kind of thing?
Yes.
Because of MILFcast, I think it's because of MILFcast.
No, he does it because he likes a lot of slutty girls.
I wasn't talking to him. That was weird that he chimed in. I was talking to you. And it was quick. He was quick. He's like, yes, I do.
No, I think it's because I have it set up as a professional thing on there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I have it set up as a regular Instagram
account.
You should
not call this anything but professional. All right, what else do we want to plug?
You can find me at Heather_Kenobi on Twitter occasionally because I'll tweet twatty things. You can find Kai, too. But if you really want to, I mean.
Find me at Kiderman on Twitter. If you want to check out my art account, go to Instagram. Go to @TheAmazingKiderman. I'm sending away to make more stickers. I'm hoping to get those up for sale soon, so come and get some. That's about it. I could do this all day. I could do this for another 7 years, but there's beers to be drank, movies to be seen. I'm going to go do that. We'll see you next time. Heather.
I'm going to hit him.
Okay.
Ow, 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 ow. Ow!
He's not even touching you.
But he was thinking about it.
I'm always thinking about it.
Oh, that was fun. Fuck, that was fun.
Fun.